feel bad and very awkward to start talking now, because the Kol Torah is such that I don't really feel 100% good. I'm going to do it because I'm supposed to. But Baruch Hashem, that we have a Kol Torah, that anybody who comes here should feel, uncomfortable to stop you. Tonight, I'd like our learning to be, and you can think of anyone you wish as well. I think it's not a bad idea, Blinetta, if I remember, that we should always do this. Tonight should be B'schus Refuah Shleima for David Tzvi Hirsch Ben Sara Mira. And Amir Tzashem, you can have in your own minds, it should be for so-and-so, because, you know, Achena, that's, you know, the Achena Kol Beis Yisrael, and the Sunan Batzara V'Shivya, there's so many people who need Refuah Shleima and other things. As I begin, I want to share two thoughts that are not related to the main topic. Last week I came in here and I saw a number of plasticized cards with Tehillim on them. So I asked, what's this for? So I said, well, after Mincha yesterday, the Bachram said Tehillim, because the Rosh Hashiva was going to make a meeting, and we wanted to be Mespala that he should be successful. It reminded me in the Tam V'Das that Reb Sternbuch Shlita says that a young man was once sent out from his yeshiva, sent out, not driven out, he sent out in Ashlichas for the Rosh Yeshiva to go and collect money for the yeshiva. And, he did okay. He did okay. Having done something like that myself, I know what okay means. All right, there. So he came back to the yeshiva with whatever he had collected. And about 3 weeks later, the Rosh Yeshiva came over to him and gave him a big yasher koach. He's what? We received a large nedava. But I never even saw that person. He wasn't on my solicitation list when I went to collect. So Rosh Yeshiva said to him, that's irrelevant. We had a chiyuv of hishtadlus. We had to do, and you were the one who was doing out there. And success or failure is in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you were out there collecting, and therefore this is what happened after as a result. So when I see that we were mispalel, had the right idea that the Rosh Yeshiva should be successful, then of course it's, there's no question that the Rosh Yeshiva benefited and, from our tefillos, and that's, and the very fact that we have this idea is one of the reasons that I'm so pleased to be a part of Aderes HaTorah. I once said at a meeting at the Rosh Yeshiva's home, and I think Rabbi Rubin, you were there at the time, that we have, our yeshiva has one Rosh Yeshiva. Who's our Rosh Yeshiva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is his earthly representative? Of course, Rabbi Center. But the Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the way it is. I mean, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, and he's the Rosh Yeshiva of any other self-respecting yeshiva that can be called yeshiva. But that's it, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, Hashem Silcha Yad Yiminecha, he was there with Rabbi Center and gave him Baruch Hashem, a Siyata Dishmaya, the halavai our yeshiva should benefit from. The second idea, I want you to get ready. I'm going to deal with numbers. But you don't have to be a math major to be able to handle what I want to share with you. Yesterday's Parsha, Parsha's Bo. In Parsha's Bo, which is the 15th Sedra, 12 in Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayecha, Yisor, etc. And then Shmos, Vayera, Bo. So we're now holding by the 15th Sedra. Be aware that there are in all 54 sedras in Chumash. That, some are double sedras, such when we read, Tazmir Mitzvah, etc. But this is number 15. Now, by the way, 54 is an interesting number. That's the number of times that Haman's name is mentioned in the Megillah. If you want to question it, you start when we have just in 2.5 months, we get ready with Megillah, just take your Megillah out as you do every year anyway and start counting, and usually by 10 or 12 or 13 or 14, you're out of business. Take my word. 54, a lot of different reasons. One of them is that he tried to lahashmid laharog la'abe, the nation of the 54 sedras, so his name is mentioned. 54 times. Zocher l'ra. Now the fact is that now we are we're at the 15th Sedra. And who surfaces in the 15th Sedra? The Rasha, the Ein Yodei Elisho, Vata. One son is missing. Of the four sons, he's missing. Who? The Chacham. But where's the Chacham? The Chacham surfaces in the 45th of the 54 Sedras in Parshas Foraschana. The Yishol Chabin Chamochel Eimor, Ma Eidus Chukim Mishpat Mashatzi Hashem Lakenu Aschan, etc. That's where the Chacham is. How come? How come he's not with the rest in Parshas Bo? And one of the reasons is that's why he's the Chacham. Because the Chacham perseveres. The Chacham is determined to do whatever is there. Whatever the struggle is, he's going to do whatever it takes. Whatever obstacle is there. He no doubt had similar or the same obstacles that the Russia, the Yodei Elisho, the Tom had. Listen, life is interesting. If it's all flat, a person is dead. But just, it goes up and down. That's the way it is. The longer you live, you see it. You hear from you over and over again because it's true. Because it's true. And he went through everything too. He went through the mountains, the valleys, whatever it is. He was there too. But he persevered. He knew that giving up is worse than messing up. Listen to that well. Giving up is worse than messing up. Sure, okay, it's hard. Now sometimes mess up. But okay, you know, Tosfos ends with a lot of things, you know, but so Akasha, you know, it's Mishtarpnish from Akasha. We never die from Akasha. And the fact is that maybe in Akasha, how we learn something, it's okay, it was Megate Viter, whatever it may be. The same thing in learning, the same thing in Yiddishkeit in general. Especially when we have a Kaddish Baruch Hu as our partner in everything that we do. Now, after having said these two things, I want to share with you the main topic. If you remember, to all of you who are fluent now, four more words in Yiddish, as mitornit nemen yenems, okay? Mitornit, we should not, nemen yenems, okay? We'll stick to ourselves. And we remember last year, a group of Rebbeim came to Reb Moshe Feinstein, they wanted to change the Masechta from the Bavas to Brochas, and he said, no, I want the Bachrim to Chazer over and over and over, as Matornish Nemen Yenems. And therefore we should be scrupulous, that's what he said. And the concept is, be as scrupulous as are with our Yodayim, as we are with our Einayim. We've taught, the Roshiva speaks about the Shmir Seinayim, we always do, of course. I remember my son, Simcha Yehuda, who sometimes was with us, called Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and said to him, what do you do during the summer? I mentioned this before. What do you do during the summer? You're in the street, and how can you handle all the situations that come up with Shmir Seinayim? She said, study the pavement. It's a good Zach, study the pavement. Very terse. Study the pavement. Three words that make a world of a difference. But that's Shmiras Einayim. Let's deal with Shmiras Yodayim, which is major too. One of the stories that we didn't mention last night had to do with Yaakov Kamenetsky from America. Zecher Tzadik Livracha had the opportunity to be in his presence on a couple of occasions. He, when he was still in Europe, went to a post office, and the post in the winter, high snow, trudged to the post office and bought whatever he had to do there, sent out whatever he was doing, and he got back more money than he should have. So when he went on, he realized that the person in the non-Jewish person in the post office had made a mistake and had given him more change back than he deserved. So he, as the story goes, he trudged back, and it was not simple. He himself was in stature, he was great. In size, he was a small size. So the snow was higher on him than it would be on some of the young men sitting here. Anyway, when he got there, gave it back to the man, who was really surprised, you know, to get this money. Most people didn't. The mistake was made. It's your part, you know. Losers, weepers, you know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know, that respect. So fine. But here he got it. And what happened? That man, later on, saved other people's lives during the Holocaust. How the story goes, I don't know. But I do know that's what happened. And the reason given that he was so, you know, impressed that this is a Jew, he couldn't bring himself to be an accomplice to what occurred during that time. There are stories as well, and I find this by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. He's brought at least a couple. I'll just share one with you, because these things that happen, I can see. We can make them happen. But here there was a swimming pool in Eretz Israel somewhere, and when the fellow in charge, non-observant person, is in charge of taking the change, and when he went out to lunch, the frum kids who went into the swimming pool would go to swim, but on the way out they would pay for using the swimming pool. And he was so taken by the fact that these kids were so honest that he started to check out his roots, and that's the way it is. Listen, I'm going to tell you a story that happened tonight here in my cab. Seriously. And I'm only telling you this because it's an MSSZ, and you can make it happen as I try to make things happen too. I'm in the cab with nothing to do with money, nothing with this. I'm in the cab with a non-observant person. It's not like he's a person who just doesn't wear a yarmulke. He's not an observant person, you can tell. And we're sitting here, and when I got into the cab, one of his lights was out. You know, like he has driving with only the right light, and you know, not the left or the vice versa. So I say to him, you know, your light is not on. He says, yeah, I know. I say, you're not afraid to get into an accident? It's going to be okay. I say, you know, what do you mean it's going to be okay? You know, so, you know, are you saying to me it's none of my business? No, I'm not saying it's none of your business. I'm just saying it's going to be okay, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to whack it a little bit afterwards and all this. I say to him, you know, I'm concerned about you. I want to please see that you do this. You know, we're brothers. Achim anachnu. This is all in Hebrew. Ata ach sheli. You know, and so we continued on. The end, when I got out of the cab, you know, so how many times can I hack him about the idea of you know, your lights off? Yes, I just, you know, rocked his core, you know, with Takenet the Panas. He says, sure, I will. Now listen, let's understand something. I didn't talk to him about, hey, you should be keeping mitzvahs, so you should do this and that. And you say, well, it's none of your business. Listen, call Yisrael or Ravens, and listen, we're all together. But I'm just saying to you like this. I, Bedavka, had the opportunity. I want to leave in his mind that here's a chiloni, here's a whatever looking person he is, you know, who I don't want to use that word that I don't ascribe to per se, but the fact is that Baruch Hashem, we can be mashpia, and you can do the same thing in this way too. Last week we ended with this idea of being careful with taking people's items, of forgetting when we borrow svarim, of forgetting when we take small change, of forgetting pens and pencils, deodorant use, whatever, we don't ask necessarily, and forgetting, you know, to ask permission for certain things, okay? Now the fact is I only forget the only small things, but the metzius is, it is gzeila. And that's a serious thing, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. Maturnish Nem and Yemen, that's essentially it. And what I would, again, emphasize, to take a list. When we have a little book, whether it's something like this that you carry around in your pocket, you put it in the back of the pants, or a list or something that will stay with you. But the idea is, you write down when you borrow something. That's the way, and probably one of the only ways. And then later on, you check off. You'd be surprised. If you look at it after a week or two, you're going to see you checked off a lot of things, but a lot of things you even forgot. I don't even remember taking this stuff. Well, at least it's on the paper, and you give it back. Because that makes a major, major difference, as you will see in a few moments. You know, it may be a pain to do it, but there's no comparison to that type of pain, to the pain of not doing it as such. Add to this, by the way, things that won't go necessarily on the list, but there's Gezel Shena, being careful. And this one you can't give back. There's no Lahashiv Zagzela if you wake up somebody when he wants to go to sleep at a decent time and somebody's not careful how he slams the door or does something else or talks loud. Gezel Zman, I'm supposed to meet with a Chavrusa, I'm supposed to meet with somebody and, you know, I could be careful, but I'm not. I could call him up and say I'm going to come late, but I don't, something like this too. There's Gedevis Das too, fooling somebody in a way, and you know, you can fill in all the blanks. Each one is a topic in its own. Talking about the idea of taking something, it could be something, it doesn't have to be so large. Maisa shahoya kachoya. When I say it's a maisa shahoya, to the best of my abilities, it really is. I don't like to feed you stuff which is just plain stuff. I once mentioned when I saw that the Stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes in that Sefer, Chayei Olam, that he checked out himself any of the things that he speaks about to see that it's really true. This is a Maisa Shehoya about 150 years ago that had to do with Ruchayim Velozhin. And it's found in a Sefer written by a very reputable author called Ovi HaYeshivas, the father of yeshivas, Ruchayim Velozhin. And it tells about a student in his yeshiva, the Bacher, who was ill, went home and didn't have enough money on the way, and he stayed in an inn. And he borrowed X number of ruble or whatever it was from the innkeeper, went on his way, went home and died without ever paying the amount of money. He was a bocher, he was a fine bocher, and it happened. And he came back in a chalom to Reb Chaim Volozhin, who told this over, and it was recorded in the Sefer. The bocher came in a dream and said to him, I borrowed money from the innkeeper, etc., etc. Please pay it. I cannot have any menucha. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about taking 150 ruble for or whatever amount of money it was, 150 years. Taking rubles, God forbid, from somebody to act deliberately, God forbid, taking. Here's all he borrowed, he didn't pay it back. Under circumstances, what is he supposed to do? He has no menucha. So Reb Chaim Volozhin, Mustama probably sent somebody to check out, and sure enough, that he at that inn, this boy had borrowed money. He paid the money and never had a chalom again. Something closer to home. I heard this today from Abad Yudovit, our younger son. And he said that 15 years ago, approximately, at Express Market, are you familiar with the Express Market in Geula? It's a place right on, Malchi Yisrael in Geula, Express Market. It's on the corner, one of the streets there. There, the person who owns that is extremely great, Baal Chesed. So he went ahead and he allows people to take out a lot of credit. So what happened is a lady who was Nifteres appeared to her sister and begged the sister in a chalom, after, of course, she was Nifteris, to pay her bill that she owed. And apparently she told her how much. The lady checked at the 15 years ago at Express Market, and sure enough, and paid that bill. The idea is that these people were zoche, that they should have the opportunity to communicate. That doesn't happen often. Why for one, why not for the other? No, I don't have any of the details, but these are situations. And I asked my son, how do you know this thing happened? I mean, and he told me over how they're aware and who said what it is. And so therefore, it's a dover that actually, I did the best I can in checking it up. The Shaila is, I mention this because it's such a serious thing to leave these things out and not take care of them. But what do you do when I don't remember who I could have possibly taken a pen from? I don't know. A few agarot, a few shkolim, I don't know who I took it from. I'm not talking about Gezel Shena, Gezel Zman. It's a different category because that's it's a mamish. Like either if you know and you want to make amends for it right away, I'm sorry. But how do I know about these things that I may have taken and I just don't know about? So I'll tell you like this. To the Gedolim who I've spoken to, it's hard. It's hard to do a decent full tshuva on it. When I spoke to the guy with my Rebbe, he said, you really have to watch out. But he shared with me, and in Sfarim you see also Chavis Alvavis, if you look in Shara Tshuva, Perik, Perik Asher. You look at Perik Asara, the 10th Perik in Hilchos Tshuva, in the Chovos Alvavos. So it says like this, do something letoelas harabim. At least, I don't know who I took from. And that's the case with most of us here right now. We don't know all these little things, so to speak. So he says, be mishtatif in making, toelas harabim means something that for the general use. like a mikveh, like an eruv, like a shul, like a beis medrash, that I participate in building these things, like giving money towards a sefer Torah, like giving money in a gemach, like he says, like building a bridge, whatever it is, anything that you can think of, use your own ideas, how things that the rabbin can use. First of all, if you were lucky, the guy himself, who he took something from, may use it. It's better than nothing. At least it's Toelas Rab. It means I'm trying as hard as I could. If I knew whose pen I took 5 and 15 years ago, or last week, or even today, and I forgot already, and he forgot too, by the way. Otherwise he would have come to me and said, listen, that pen, whatever it is, but you do the best. It may be that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, because I'm serious about my tshuva to get it back, I just haven't been able to do it. I don't know. The person may yes remember, but either he doesn't know where you are, or he figured he's afraid to come to you, whatever it is, or ashamed to come to you, or whatever it is. A Kaddish Baruch Hu may put just in his heart, says the Mechayvus Avava, he's saying, I'm Michael the guy. So we don't remember even it happened. It's not going to be held against us in the same way because the person is Michael what happened. Maybe the person moved away. Maybe he moved away. And like, I know who he is. Or maybe I don't even know his name. But I remember his face if I saw him. So what can happen? And these types of things happen. A chasna. You go to a chasna in Los Angeles. A chasna in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever it is. Oh, you're the guy. I remember you. I forgot your name. Otherwise it would have tracked you down in one way or another. Person is able, Kaddish Baruch Hu has these things happen. I'm on a vacation, I'm on a business trip, whatever it may be, the guy shows up. It's a wonderful thing. Nowadays, with the methods of communication we have, there's no way that we almost can't get to somebody. If we really, really try, Hashem sees we really try, you have a very, very good opportunity to be able to make it as such. And that is for sure. Now, person dies. What do you do? He's dead. How am I going to help him? I know who he is, but he died. You go to his grave, be mispalel for forgiveness. You give back to the heirs. He has a little son, daughter, whatever it is, give to them, a widow. He has other members of the family, whatever it is, consult the Rav. But the fact is, we normally can be able to do something as such. And then, God forbid, if we don't, and we're not able to do these things, then there's always Gilgulim. I want to speak a little bit about Gilgulim. It sounds like Gilgulim. Let me share with you a Pella Yoetz. This is almost 200 years old. The Pella Yoetz writes that Tzorich Lachzer BeGilgul. If a person takes something, and that could be, he doesn't give the amount that you have to take. He just says if a person takes something and he hasn't done tshuva for it, in order to pay back, then he can come back. He has Tzorech Lachzer BeGilgul Kedei L'Shalem. In order to pay, he has to come back and he's a Gilgul. And he writes like this. And I discussed it with the guy today. He says, Maisa Nifla She'eri B'mei Harav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. A wondrous Maisa happened. Shebo Echad BeGilgul Sus. A guy came back as a horse. And in order to pay back his chol, he worked and worked and worked. The horse was just worked like you never saw a horse work. You know, somebody say is an expression, he worked like a horse. This is a horse that really worked like a horse. And the guy that told me, and I'm just not certain if it's on this Maisa or another Maisa, he says that his Rebbe told him over, and he had used something that the Chafetz Chaim had repeated, it's Shayach, I have to discuss it further. If this is the Maisa, or he's adding another one, that the man was told, who owned the horse, be Michael, the money that was missing. And he was Michael it, and the horse died. You understand what it meant when the horse died? The neshama went back into the shemayim. He could go back. Nobody wants to come down here as a horse, or a rock, or a bird, or a snake, or a horse. So here it is. Better to be working as a horse and eventually go back than, God forbid, to be in a situation where the person is, who knows what happens or whatever. But you'll say, Gilgulim. This is the Chofetz Chaim, and it's open to everybody here, That's part of the beautiful thing about when we speak about, you know, I remember going to Rav Yoshev's shir, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, probably about 5 years ago. Rav Yoshev of Nifter, just a short time ago. And about 5 years ago or less, I was there, and he stood up to give a shir. And people asked on him, you know? He's saying, he gives his pshat, and everybody, you know, and asking right off the floor. And that's the beautiful thing about Gedolei Yisrael. It's not, yeah, when there's a psak, there's a psak. But the fact is that we are able, you know, to be able to when we're here, to be able, when they are alive and well, to question, to be able to get the answers and have access. This is open. What I have to say now is open. You see, the Chofetz Chaim speaks about it in the Shaar HaTzion, about Gilgulim. And he says the following: don't think sometimes that you'll behave the way I'll behave, the way I'll behave. And there's no way to fix anything anyway. And what person says, when I die, says a person, so I go to heaven or I go wherever it is and finished. Over is over. And, you know, it's almost like heaven is a haven. You like, get away. You like, you know, you're able to get away. He says, not true. And he says the following. Minafsho, anything that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants from a particular person, she yisaken, that person has to repair, mukhrechu lisaken, that person has to repair in one way or another. And what happens after he dies? The yovo od pam upamayim. He can come back once or twice. It could be more. Li'olam hazet ubal korcho yukhrech lisaken. And he's going to have to get repaired in whatever way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, how it works, who gets this, who gets that, does everybody come back as a Gilgul? I don't know. But you see over here, the same Chofetz Chaim, who we say, what's the halacha by the bracha? What's the halacha by whatever it is? And, oh, that's what the Chofetz Chaim said. And, you know, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Brachas, Hilchas Tefilos. Well, here it is, in the end of Hilchas Yom Kippur, by Mincha of Yom Kippur, he speaks about Gilgulim and clearly spells out. And he says, the riot to this is from Yaina. Yaina was told to go to Nineveh and give prophecy. But instead, he wasn't going to do it for good reason, he thought. But the fact is, you know, Machshavas Rabbis, a person has, Vasas Hashem Yisakum. The way a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants it is the way it's going to be. And that's the way it's going to be for each and every single person, too, that Kaddish Baruch Hu has. But a person, while he's here, has the easy way out. And the easy way out is, in the very beginning, to keep the ledger. Don't go there in the first place. Nobody wants to have to come back, God forbid, to come back here as such. Maybe I will share with you, to leave us in a better, I don't want to leave you with this feeling as such, necessarily. So I'll tell you a story, just shows how simple the idea of Gilgul was for everybody. There was a very simple farmer, it is said. Is it a true story? I don't know. This I heard from Rabbi Zriel Tauber. And maybe he just wanted to get a point across. A thief came into his barn and stole his horse. And the next night, the thief came back and came to steal another horse. And just then, this farmer came in when the thief was in the barn. And he says, hey, what are you doing in my barn? And the man says, I am your horse. And I came back. You see, God sent me, Hashem sent me as a Gilgul. And the horse that you were missing, I'm the horse that you're missing. He sent me here as a horse, and my time on earth was up. So, last night, he, you know, freed me from being a horse. My tikkun was over. So the farmer says, oh, I'm so happy for you. But you don't have anything. Come and let me give you something to eat. Let me give you some money, at least to start you off. And this thief goes into the man's house, he eats supper, and he gets, you know, some money and all this, and he's on his way. Goodbye, Yankele, be okay. The next day, this, it was very poshut to the farmer. This is a Gilgul. The next day, the farmer went back into the market to get another horse, because he needed a second horse. And what does he see in the market? He sees his horse. There it is, in the market, being sold. Probably the thief had sold it to somebody else, and now the horse is there. And he recognizes his horse. And he walks over to the horse, and he pats it on the head, and he says, Yankele, only 2 days out already, only 2 days back, and you're already in trouble. So I say is this. Have a good evening. Thank you.